This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana, 877-217-5757. Just a few minutes, we're going to hear from the incomparable Chris Thomas King, a Baton Rouge music legend and son of a legendary blues man, Tabby Thomas, and he's back in a big way with a new release, Hotel Voodoo. We'll also hear from Robert Travis Scott, president of the Louisiana, well, the Public Affairs Council of Louisiana. He, of course, a longtime journalist, and Robert Travis Scott will have some thoughts about the amendments on the ballot, and we might even get a review from him about Chris Thomas King. I understand he's already downloaded the CD. But we start with Jeff Huffman from Florida Public Radio, chief meteorologist, and he covers storms whenever there's something happening, and this has been a busy year, as we know, with Hurricanes Irma and Harvey hitting the United States. And now we have Nate, which could be Hurricane Nate and could hit Louisiana as early as tomorrow. What are we looking at, Jeff?
Oh, well, good morning, Jim. Yes, it has been busy, and we have now a hurricane that's likely to make landfall in southeast Louisiana or Mississippi. It's not a hurricane yet, but it is forecast to be that way. Nate is now back over the warm waters of the Western Caribbean. It may have one more brief interaction with land, meaning the Yucatan Peninsula, later tonight, early tomorrow morning, it's very unlikely that Nate will weaken. In fact, it's much more likely that Nate will strengthen. And there's even a chance that it could strengthen rapidly at some point between now and landfall. Also worth noting, Jim, this morning, which always makes me a bit uneasy when it comes to storm preparation, and that is that it's going to accelerate on its approach to the north-central Florida Gulf Coast there. Landfall right now projected to be, I'm sure your listeners have checked in on this, and it's projected to be to your east and probably making more of a northeast turn somewhere near the mouth of the Mississippi. But the stronger Nate becomes, the more likely there will be significant impacts on its western side. So we certainly should plan for and prepare for the possibility that this system does rapidly intensify. We've seen that. In fact, we've seen several forecasts at the Hurricane Center that have under-forecast the rate of intensification. So let's keep that in the back of our mind and listen to our local officials and take this one seriously.
Well, at the very least, we could get a lot of rain.
Yeah, and the heaviest rain will be on the eastern side of this, so you're going to get they're certainly going to get the rain bands. Right now, I don't see the rainfall being too significant in the Baton Rouge area, especially any further west than there. So it's interesting to note as well, if you have any listeners or interest in New Orleans, that if the storm does move to the east, we're looking at a situation not to the magnitude or scale of Katrina, but we're looking at a situation where the north wind would pile the water of Lake Pontchartrain up into New Orleans from the north side. So we have to watch that as well. Certainly all the hazards that go with a hurricane should be planned for and prepared for in southeast Louisiana. And it's, Jim, the track, the cone of uncertainty is still, you know, about 80 to 100 miles at this point at landfall from the center. So there's the still distinct possibility that the system would move closer to Morgan City and Baton Rouge as opposed to New Orleans and Gulfport. It's also important to remember that the intensity forecasts are not as reliable, even with all our science and technology. Intensity forecasts have proven to be not as reliable as track forecasts. They have not improved much at all with regards to forecasting intensity. So there's quite a spread with this right now on how intense it could be. There's also a spread on the other side. There's a possibility that it, you know, may never reach hurricane status, but right now it's officially forecast to be a hurricane at landfall.
And what is the time that is most likely to be landfall?
Well, the landfall is most likely to occur between midnight and 6 a.m. Sunday morning. But tropical storm impacts could arrive there along the Louisiana coastline as early as mid-afternoon on Saturday. That's the earliest reasonable time. I think they're more likely to arrive closer to sunset tomorrow evening. So preparations in southeast Louisiana should be brought to completion probably by early afternoon on Saturday.
Well, Jeff, great job updating us, and we'll be calling on you again soon. It's been a busy season, and this one doesn't look like it's going to have the same kind of might that Hurricanes Irma and Harvey had, but any hurricane is serious, and this one appears to be headed in our direction. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, you're welcome.
We're joined now in studio by the incomparable Chris Thomas King, a Baton Rouge legend and a man who is synonymous with music in Baton Rouge. He was born here in 1962, celebrating his birthday later this month, and the release date, I think, is today for Voodoo, Hotel Voodoo. And Chris Thomas King, it's always good to see you.
Good to see you again, Jim. Thanks for having me. Yeah, today, my new album dropped today, Hotel Voodoo, and I'm very excited about it because it's been 5 years in the making.
Well, you are a man who's won the Grammy Award for both country music and the traditional music. Not many people have accomplished this, and you've won a lot of awards. You've been to everywhere in the world, but yet anytime you have something new like this, I know you're excited.
Yeah, and it might sound cliche, but you know, I do feel like this is like a new step or a new direction for me, and I feel like it's the best showcase of my my real musical vision. I think it's kind of finally coming into its own.
At 55, almost.
You're right. Well, the blues is a marathon, you know.
Yeah,
so
it's not a sprint.
Right, and it's something like I just this past week, you know, my good friend Henry Gray was performing at a little blues gala that we had. He plays every Tuesday in town. Henry is 93 years old,
mm-hmm.
and he looks good, he sounds good, and so the blues is it's a marathon, but it's one that it's a journey that I'm on that I, you know, kind of was born into with my father. And what grew up, for those that don't know, you know, I grew up in the family juke joint, so to speak. You know, we had a blues club called Tabby's Blues Box about 25 years here, you know, down in near the river down here in Baton Rouge. And so as a teenager, I grew up around this music and grew up around a lot of the men and women who carried on this tradition. And so these days, now that I'm coming up on another birthday, now it's kind of up to me to kind of, you know, some of those voices are gone,
mm-hmm.
and I try to do my best to play it forward.
Well, your father, who died a few years ago, he played almost to the very end, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He had a long, distinguished career himself, but I think that in the end, as a musician, he was, and a recording artist, he was revered, but I think that his big contribution that people really he touched a lot of younger musicians who now play around the world and keep this music going. So he was kind of a guru, and you know, and he inspired a lot of Louisiana musicians.
Well, it's tough to follow the footsteps of a legend, but you are now more famous than your father ever was.
Well, that's probably so. Yeah, he was, you know, him and so many people like my dad was unsung. You know, I've been fortunate enough because, you know, as an actor, I get a chance to break out of the categories of blues, rock and roll, you know, pop or whatever. And there's no categories like that in Hollywood. You know, it's drama, comedy, these kind of things, you know. So, being in the movie Ray, you know, playing Lou Folsom and doing the score with Ray Charles and participating in the scoring of Oh Brother, Where Art Thou and acting in that movie as well. Now, those are two movies that were very successful, won Oscars and lots of awards. But there's about a dozen other movies that I've done as an actor as
right.
well that aren't as hugely popular. But being an actor and just being able to spread my interests, my artistic interests around, helps me to reach a lot more people. And one thing about film, I mean, there's not a lot of countries I can go throughout Europe where if I'm walking down the street in Barcelona, somebody might point me
really?
Out and say, "That's the guy from the from the movie," you know. So and I enjoy that, and it helps because the blues is not a, you know, in the, you know, traditional sense, quote unquote, it's not the most commercial music that's mm-hmm. going to get a lot of airplay and a lot of promotion and things like that. So if, you know, when you can get songs in movies and in commercials and things, it definitely helped to bring new listeners to you.
Well, we're going to hear some of the selections from the latest album from Chris Thomas King, Hotel Voodoo, which is out today. It's the release date, and we're honored that you're spending time with us, that this is where is being unveiled. And Chris Thomas King, you've never forgotten about Louisiana, have you?
Oh, no. Matter of fact, there's a song on the album called Le Bleu, Born in Louisiana. It's like the French meaning of the word blues, because a lot of people don't know that the blues is not, it is a French word. We were an old French colony. And the original meaning of the blues is not what it's known as today, which disappoints me, because I'm always introduced as the guy who sold his soul to the devil, or the blues man, so and so. And people don't really understand, like, in other words, like, I'm coming to your town to make everybody sad and depressed, you know? And that's not what this is about. The French meaning of the word blue is that it's subversive and that it's a little risque.
The guest is Chris Thomas King, musician, singer, and actor. Your number is 877-217-5757. Back after this brief timeout. This is Jim Inkster. Pleased to have you with us for Talk Louisiana. Ali Baltazar's producing, and if you'd like to talk to the remarkable Chris Thomas King, who's out with a new album, the number to reach, the musician, singer, and actor who's with us for a little while longer, is 877-217-5757 or 297-5633 in Chris's hometown of Baton Rouge. And you can send us an email, talk@talklouisiana.org. And thanks to many of you who contributed to WRKF over the last few days in the fall membership drive, making it a success, and we hope you're pleased with the programming. Chris Thomas King was born here in 1962, and he'll have a birthday a week from tomorrow, number 55, but he's had a huge career. And the big break, I guess, was the 2000 film, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? That changed everything, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. It gave me a lot of creative freedom as an artist that I didn't have before. Before I got into the movies, you know, I was dealing with blues purists, folk purists, and they have a certain narrow idea about what that is. I mean, these are some of the same people that basically ran Bob Dylan off the stage, you know, for playing electric, you know. So they're very myopic in their ideas about this music. But once Old Brother exploded, it opened me up to a much wider audience. And you know, a lot of young people are here today that, you know, bands like the Lumineers and other groups, they readily say that they were heavily influenced by that movie to pick up traditional instruments. And so it had quite a cultural impact.
877-217-5757 if you'd like to talk to Chris Thomas King. Robert and Shenandoah, you're on Talk Louisiana.
Yes, thanks for taking my call, Chris. I truly enjoy the work that you do.
Thank
and
you.
I have a question just in general. At what point, if you recall, where you went from strumming chords, perhaps reading the music, to where the music just took over, to where you just started to be able to jam or to just play along, where at some point the music, like I say, the music just took over instead of, I got to go to this chord or next chord. At what point does that happen? I hope you understand where I'm coming from here.
I think I do. It sounds like you're a musician.
Think so.
Yeah. You know, that's where, as an artist, as a music artist, especially a blues artist, it's all about, you know, improvisation and being in the moment. So, and you can't just force it, you know, it has to just kind of happen. So I would say that I flirt with that from time to time. Sometimes, you know, it's magical. You get on stage and you get in the zone and the musician's in the zone with you. And it's magical. You just kind of let it take over. But before you can get there, you got to kind of master that instrument. You know, once you master the instrument and really make that just an extension of yourself, then you don't have to think about it, you know. I'll give you a little example. I was on stage one night with some jazz musicians. I just sat in with them. And, boy, they were playing some stuff, you know, some high-tempo stuff. And the trumpet player, he was blowing. And he was, man, he was playing all kind of stuff. And I was like, okay, they're going to point at me pretty soon, but I don't know what key we're in. So I went over to the guy while he was soloing, and I whispered in his ear, what key are we in? And he said he didn't know. And so, you know, he was just playing, you know. And that's the best answer I think I have for you, is that sometimes you just got, there's no wrong notes, so you just have to let it rip.
Thank you, Robert. Stuart in Southeast Baton Rouge. Stuart, you're on with Chris Thomas King.
Absolutely. Good morning, Jim, and to you as well, Chris.
Thank you.
Chris, I'm going to take us back to our exit days.
Who is this now?
Stuart. Steve Stewart, Chris.
Okay. Steve Stewart. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. I had the distinct pleasure of playing with Chris when we were in our formative years, and wow, it's such a pleasure to see where you are. And when I heard you on the air, I just started reminiscing. I'm glad. I pray that everyone is well with you and yours, Chris.
Yeah, same to you, Steve. Long time. Good to hear your voice. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Stuart, for calling us. Now, tell us the genesis of American Man. It's the first song on the new album.
Yeah, American Man is a song that, well, one thing about my songwriting and titles of songs, they tend to have more than one meaning. So the American Man has a personal meaning, and then it has a larger meaning. And on the personal side, you know, we're talking about my upcoming birthday, you keep reminding people that I'm getting older, but I won't hold that against you, Jim.
You're young to me.
But when I was born, I think on my birth certificate, I was a Negro or colored or something. And I mean, we've been called so many different things over the years. And now, you know, African-American and all this kind of stuff here. And at some point, you know, after 500 years, 1,000 years or whatever, you just have to just say that you're American, you know, whatever that means. And so it's a personal statement with me saying that I'm an American man. And on a larger point, it's an anti-war song, because it's talking about, you know, I don't want any rocket ships, you know. And it's a song, an ode to like a soldier coming home from the war. And he just want to get with an American girl and have a good old time, you know, and not be bombarded with rocket ships and talk of war and stuff like that. In other words, it's just a love, not war song. And, you know, to me, that's, and then when someone else listens to it, they might hear some other messages, you know, from that particular song.
The lead song on Hotel Voodoo is American Man in the Key of Free from Chris Thomas King.
Hey! Born in a shotgun shack, out in the countryside, had a hard road, but mama filled me with pride. We had an American dream, a little family band. One day papa said, son, are you the man? I'm an American man. I've got big plans.
Not bad, Chris Thomas King.
Oh, thank you, thank you.
I know you're quite proud of your work, but you're a humble guy, and you're probably not all that comfortable promoting what you do, but you do it pretty well.
Well, thank you. Actually, when I make a record, a lot of times I've heard these songs, you know, thousands of times, obviously, but when you, you know, hear them with someone else, you know, it's kind of like you're hearing it again for the first time in a way, so.
Well, we'll talk more with Chris Thomas King. We're also going to hear from Robert Travis Scott. This is the Three Name Show today, and we'll look forward to hearing from you if you're so inclined. 297-5633 or 877-217-5757 or talk at talklouisiana.org. Now the news with Karen Henderson on 89.3 WRKN.
Bundle their auto.
This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us. Ali Baltazar is producing, and your number for Talk Louisiana is 877-217-5757, 877-217-5757. You can send an email to talk at talklouisiana.org. Stephen Parker did just that. He's a guitarist, and he says, thanks to Chris for mentioning Mr. Henry Gray, who's a treasure. I was wondering if you could talk about the Blues in Schools program. Are you involved with this?
I'm not officially involved with that, but I did have a little program of my own, and I was working with a local company called Personas. And every Tuesday I had some kids for about 2 years. I would get together and mentor them. So I don't know which program he's talking about. I know there are programs. Mm-hmm. And my website is christhomasking.com. And when I'm in town and I have the time, if I'm invited to share, you know, with students, I usually try to make time and find a way to do it. But mm-hmm. Yeah, we got it. Like I said, you know, we have to play it forward, pass it on.
Now, another listener, Julia, asks about your role in the Oscar-winning Ray, playing the band leader, Lowell Fulson.
Mm-hmm.
How'd you get that role?
Well, that they began casting for that soon after. Once once you're in a major film like Old Brother and it wins an Oscar and you're co-starring on screen with George Clooney and people like that, the Coen brothers are loved by so many other directors. So all the other directors and everybody in Hollywood watched their film. So Taylor Hacker was the director for Ray.
He's a good one.
And he invited me to his office out there in Hollywood, and we had a meeting, and he offered me the role, and I was excited. And but, you know, getting a chance to work with Ray Charles was the highlight of it. And because, you know, like myself, I mean, I work under the banner blues, but Ray Charles is the quintessential blues artist, and he could sing The Phone Book, he could sing Mary Poppins or whatever, and it was just going to come out Ray, you know. And so I follow I have a cover on my album by Adele, a ballad there. And when I do something like that, I'm thinking Ray Charles, I'm thinking John Coltrane taking, you know, my favorite things and making it his own. So that was in my journey, that was one of the high points, working with Mr. Ray Charles.
Well, the latest work from Chris Thomas King is out today, Hotel Voodoo, and we heard American Man. Tell us about Le Bleu Was Born in Louisiana.
Yeah, it's that. There's no subliminal message there. That's pretty much, I'm wearing that right on my sleeve. That's kind of my soapbox, and every performance I do all over the world, I'm always trying to remind people that the blues began here in Louisiana. And, you know, people forget that, you know, you had Spanish America, you had French America in the colonial times. And a lot of our language, a lot of our culture, you know, begins there as Louisianians. So when they said the word blue, they didn't want you playing the blues in this house. When Jelly Roll Morton's parents told him that, they weren't saying that he was singing 12 bars and they wanted him to play 8 bars. It had nothing to do with that. They were saying that, you know, we're a respectable, you know, Creole family. And I'm sure they probably said it in French to him in not so polite language. But blue meant like, in the French language, it means blue entertainment. You know, you're like a Lenny Bruce or a Richard Pryor who take, you know, something that is kind of, not fit for polite society or polite company, but they rise it to an art form, you know, and it's subversive. It gets people to think, and it's a little bit outside of the box. And that's the origins of the blues. Jelly Roll Morton, Clarence Williams from Plaquemine, Louisiana. You had like King Oliver from Donaldsonville. But all these people ended up in New Orleans creating what we know as the blues. It started on the trumpet, and then it moved to, and then as the trumpet kind of gave way to the guitar became the dominant instrument of the blues. But the key guy who took what Louis Armstrong and these guys were doing with the blues and transposed it to the guitar, his name was Lonnie Johnson, and he's from New Orleans, and he's like a great one. and just to, you know, cap it off, the New Orleans musicians are real folk musicians because they learn from each other or from family or just from their milieu. Mm-hmm. But the Mississippi Delta musicians, first of all, there was no Delta. When Jelly Roll and them was playing the blues in New Orleans, there was no human, people didn't live in the Delta. It was just black bears. And, you know, we had the President Roosevelt hunting there in 1902.
Teddy Roosevelt.
There was no, it was not populated. Mississippi was only populated along the Mississippi River. So they didn't even start cultivating and clearing the Delta until after the blues was already exploding in New Orleans. So it's a fallacy to believe that we musicians in Louisiana are, you know, somehow learning from, and it's just not true. And the last thing I'll say about it is that it was Muddy Waters, Robert Johnson, the Mississippi musicians are the ones who learned from recordings. They're not as much folk musicians as we like to make them. They got the phonograph record, and they studied those phonograph records that the New Orleans musicians made. And then they went to Chicago and, you know, started playing this music. But we left Storyville and went to Chicago as early as 1917. So, and brought this music to Chicago, brought this music to Harlem. And now it's a worldwide thing. And there's places, they don't have blues festivals in certain places. It's a liberating music, but there's certain places you still can't go and do this music.
Well, here we go.
Where the blues was born, you can still hear the sound of Buddy Bolden's horn. From the back of town to down the Esplanade, form a second line in, join my parade. Born in Louisiana, not Mississippi or Texarkana. The blues was born in Louisiana, not Mississippi or Texarkana.
Got some pretty good musicians with you there too. That's quite a piece.
Yeah, on that piece, I'm featuring Olin Callahan, New Orleans musician, on clarinet, and the clarinet is where that's one of those early instruments that kind of defined the whole improvisation thing with Sidney Bechet and people like this, and that's what we guitar players, all we're trying to do is play what Louis Armstrong already played on the trumpet. Uh-huh. That's pretty much what we're trying to achieve on the guitar. And, But that was the acoustic era. I mean, in the acoustic era, you didn't have amplification and things like that. As amplification came in, then you didn't need such a big orchestra or five horn players and all of that to make a big noise. So you can get on stage with three or four people and rock a football stadium. So, you know, music evolves. And then, like, these days, a new project I'm doing, this EDM music where guys, you know, do the DJ thing. And I'm collaborating with some musicians right now on a new, some new recordings, you know, that are EDM based. They just want that blues element, that they want me to sing and play guitar on top of this stuff. But so, you know, for people not to be confused, words like jazz, swing, rock and roll, all these are just pseudonyms for the blues. You know, so as a musician, you shouldn't get confused about these labels. But the public sometimes think that when they say rock and roll, they're not talking about the blues.
There you go. Well,
and country.
It's Hotel Voodoo. It's out today, and Chris has unveiled his latest work, which you can hear is spectacular, right here on this program. And we thank you for doing it. And the website is Chris Thomas King.
Yeah, the website is Chris Thomas King, and wherever you get digital music, Spotify, iTunes, it's there. And, you know, it will be out on vinyl before the end of the year. So, and I just want to...
Yeah, well, Robert Travis Scott's our next guest, and he's been absorbing the words of the master here. Robert?
Yeah, I downloaded this last night. It's a great album, and I'm... was loving every song of it. So, hey, you know, when you download it, you don't, there's some things you don't get when you look at the CD. And I see the CD, you've got it divided into two parts, the Baron Samedi Suite and the Jelly Roll Suite. The suites, I guess, going with the theme of the hotel, right? So tell me about why you have those two suites on there and what you were thinking.
I was thinking about, even though this is a linear, you know, CD is linear, it goes from start to finish. On vinyl, you have side A and side B. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking more like I would create a suite, the Voodoo Suite, and then I would create the Jelly Roll Suite on side B. And that would give me a way to kind of like break it up a little bit, you know, for different moods that the listener might have.
Well, and we heard one from side A and one from side B.
We did.
American-made and La Blue was born in Louisiana. Chris Thomas King.
Thank you, guys.
Congratulations, and keep going, and happy birthday.
Thank you so much.
And Robert Travis Scott is next. We're going to talk about an election a week from tomorrow. Hopefully there'll be about half as much enthusiasm for the election as there is for Chris Thomas King's new release. We're back after this pause on WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. And as we head down the stretch, we're doing it with Robert Travis Scott, the Public Affairs Research Council president. He's been there 7 years now, and prior to that, 14 years covering the Capitol for the Times-Picayune, and he has been absorbing the words of our previous guest, Chris Thomas King, but he has some words about an important election a week from Saturday. I say important, but unfortunately, the Secretary of State says only about 20%, and that may be optimistic. 20% of the electorate's going to vote. We do have a statewide election for treasurer. Why is there such apathy in the electorate, Robert Travis Scott?
Well, after sitting in with Chris Thomas King here and having a chance to talk with him and hearing his new album, which I downloaded last night and I've really been enjoying it, it's hard to get enthusiastic about talking about what's on the ballot. But I'm going to do it anyway, Jim, just for you, because, you know, all elections are important. You know, not only because of the substance of what's on the ballot, but because, you know, especially in this day and age, we have a great privilege to be able to vote. And it's really something that the people are able to go out and vote on exactly what's going to be in our Constitution. And that's something that Louisiana insists on. If you're going to change the Constitution, it has to go to the people. And so that means you. Now, unfortunately, a lot of times it's really trivial stuff that's on the ballot. And I think sometimes legislators, you know, go too far in trying to crowd us up with small decisions that we really don't need to be too worried about. In this case, we've got three amendments. Be ready, you know what you're getting into before you go in there. Number one is actually fairly significant. What it would do is it would create a clear exemption in the Constitution that if construction work is in progress for some type of building, whether it's a home or whether it's an industry or retail outfit or any kind of business, that that will not be assessed for property tax until it's put into use. There, for the most part, their assessors do not assess for taxes on construction work in progress. But there are a few assessors in a few parishes who do it for some big industrial projects. And so there was a kind of a lack of uniformity in how all this was coming down, a lot of questions being asked about it. So members of the legislature, local government, industry, a lot of stakeholders kind of got together, and this was kind of a consensus document with Amendment Number 1 to clarify this.
Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Good morning, Phil. You're on Talk Louisiana with Robert Travis Scott.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen, and a good weekend to you as well, Jim, and thank you for all your work.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. My question is on those amendments. I mean, I've been looking at them, and it does seem like pretty much not much is going to be accomplished with them, and it's kind of like a fig leaf over not passing a gasoline tax. But I ask you, are there groups in Baton Rouge now, like Together Baton Rouge and Together Louisiana, and I know there's one called Indivisible. Are they asking questions and affecting some of, asking questions of our elected officials, probing, I hope? Thanks.
Right. Robert?
Yeah, that brings up a lot of good issues. I don't know where Together Louisiana, Together Baton Rouge are on this particular amendment. I do know that this particular amendment, there is a PAC that has gotten together that's helping support it. And this is a whole collection of different types of industries, including home builders and industry, who would like to see this thing passed. It's interesting that you mentioned the trust fund, which is Amendment Number 3, because you were talking about it. I think you said something like a fig leaf for a fuel tax increase. This is kind of a classic example of what we've seen happen to the Constitution over time. All three of these amendments affect Article 7 in the Constitution. Article 7 is where all the money is. It's about where the taxes are, what the mandates are for spending. And that particular article has been changed far more than any other article since we adopted our new Constitution back in 1974-75. And that's what everybody keeps focusing on now in the legislature, the business community, a lot of other stakeholders in the public, looking at our Constitution and saying, should we be going back? We've added so much. We've larded up so much this Article 7. Should we be going back and looking at a rewrite of that? I think this is a partial answer to your question and addressing part of your concern. Amendment Number 3 basically does create a new dedicated fund. We have a transportation trust fund. Fuel tax goes into that fund. There are restrictions on how it could be spent. Amendment Number 3 would create a new fund within that fund and with more restrictions on how it would be spent. And so the idea is this new subfund would only be filled with money from a new fuel tax. So if we raised fuel taxes, it would go into this new special subfund. People who are in favor of it say it will build more trust in how money would be spent if we are to get a fuel tax increase. And I think maybe some critics of it would say, heaven's sakes, do we really need another dedication? And I think that's how that argument is kind of breaking down.
Well, this one would, based on what I know, would pay for transportation construction projects, and the money could not be used to pay for wages, benefits, or retirement.
Yeah, and I think some people see Amendment Number 3 as kind of a referendum on a fuel tax, and like if you voted for this, you'd be in favor of fuel tax. I don't see it that way at all. I think people could look at this and say, yeah, this builds more trust. This would be good for a fuel tax if we were to have more fuel tax. Others would say, look, it's a dedication. I don't like dedications, and that might be a reason to vote against it. So I don't really – whether this passes or fails, I wouldn't really see it as a referendum on whether the public would pass a fuel tax.
All right. Amendment 2 is a tax exemption for spouses of deceased first responders. How would this work?
We have in our Constitution a homestead exemption that all of us get for our primary home, and it helps alleviate how much property tax you're going to pay. this particular amendment, number two, would say that if you are a paramedic, emergency medical technician, and a few other categories, including volunteer firefighters, if you're killed in the line of duty, your spouse would get a complete exemption from property taxes from that point on. This is a piggyback to an amendment that was passed by voters last year, which applied this same benefit to spouses of those who died in duty if they were in the National Guard, and sheriff's offices, police departments, and some other categories. These are usually pretty popular. They're an economic benefit to the spouse who has endured the tragedy, but also symbolically important to them.
Well, the First Amendment, which has gotten most of the attention, was spurred over a tax dispute for a gas export plant in Cameron Parish. What happened there?
Well, normally what happens when there's construction work, you'll come up on the time when you're supposed to assess properties, and if there's construction work in progress, normally the assessor will say, well, let's wait till next year until it gets put into use. And in fact, the Tax Commission doesn't even have any rules written up on how to assess construction work in progress. So for the most part, assessors across the state just haven't been assessing. But here you had a project that is a really huge multi-billion-dollar project that is taking, you know, many years to build. And so the thought was, let's go in and start to assess tax on it even before it's being put into use. And so that's where the controversy began.
877-217-5757 in our remaining moments with Robert Travis Scott. And this amendment won. Some say that if it's not passed, that some lawsuits could crop up. Is that accurate?
Well, there's already been court issue. This is already a court issue. With Amendment Number 1, we know where we're going if it passes. We don't know really where we are if it doesn't. If it passes, it's absolutely clear that that construction work in process will not be assessed for tax. If it doesn't, then it draws up the question of what some assessors are doing in some places. Isn't that supposed to be uniform with what assessors are doing in other places? And so the courts may look at this and they may say, you know, the Constitution does not give an explicit exemption for construction work in progress. Therefore, maybe under the Constitution we're supposed to be doing that, even though assessors, by and large, across the state are not. So it'll just raise a lot of questions. It probably will be something that will go to the courts and get resolved one way or another.
Well, Robert, as noted, 20% may even be an ambitious number as far as the percentage of people voting. We only had 38% vote for the governor in 2015. And there is a big election in New Orleans, too. What's the turnout expected to be in Orleans Parish for the mayors?
Yeah, you'll get a bigger turnout there. They're voting for a new mayor, their council. There's a few other items on the ballot, you'll probably have a much higher turnout. There's a lot of interest in what's going on with that.
And a public service commissioner's race as well.
That's right, and for people in Baton Rouge, it may be a little confusing because, you know, I don't know the exact percentage, but more or less half of us in this region are going to be voting for a new public service commissioner, and the other half of us won't because of the way the districts are so
right.
Gerrymandered. That's a race you ought to look at. Make sure you know what you're voting for on that one.
Well, it's a week from tomorrow, and thank you for joining us, Robert Travis Scott. It's always a pleasure
My
to
pleasure.
See you. And we'll be back Monday. Until then, have a great weekend, and stay tuned.
For a podcast of today's show, go to WRKF.org or find the Talk Louisiana podcast on the WRKF app. We welcome your feedback and topic suggestions. Email us at talk@talklouisiana.org. Talk Louisiana is a production of WRKF in Baton Rouge.